Tennessee just sounds perfect. Whether that's live music, the crack of a campfire, or kids laughing on an adventure.
To start planning your trip, visit tnvacation.com. Tennessee sounds perfect.
Hey, it's Andy, Mike, and Jason of the Fantasy Footballers Podcast here, and we're inviting you to join us live on NFL Plus following the first round of the NFL Draft. Look, fantasy football, let's be honest, gentlemen, it kind of rules the world.
That's right, and we will be live with in-the-moment fantasy football reactions to all the first-round selections and all the craziest surprises. We never can predict what's going to happen on that first day of the NFL Draft.
Lots of elite talent at the skill positions that will have a big impact on fantasy football this year. Are we going to get three wide receivers in the top 10? Are we going to break the record for the most wide receivers in the first round? Is there going to be a running back? I don't know.
And there's a lot of teams like the Chiefs, the Bills. We're really excited about their quarterback. Do they add a wide receiver? What are some of those best landing spots?
The Fantasy Footballers Draft Special will air exclusively on NFL Plus on Thursday, April 25th, following the conclusion of the first round of the draft. Go to plus.nfl.com to sign up today. Terms and conditions apply.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are coming back to Atlanta.
Right now.
Whoa. Mark your calendars because the second annual Black Effect Podcast Festival is happening on Saturday, April 27th. Hosted by B-Dot and Pretty V. Last year was nuts, but we about to do it bigger and better. We've got some of your favorite podcasts like Carefully Reckless, Horrible Decision, $1 million Worth of Game, just to name a few. Tickets go on sale today, right now. Go to blackeffect.com/podcastfestival. Get them. We'll see you there.
Hey, this is Annie.
And Samantha.
And welcome to Stuff I Never Told You, a production of iHeartRadio.
Jolene.
So, Samantha, I'm going for the easy question today.
Not every day.
Are you a Dolly Parton fan?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah?
I love all things Dolly Parton. I mean, her songs, her style, her parks. It's fantastic.
Have you been?
Well, that's what I told you. When I was younger, we didn't really do many vacations. We would go every 4 years. But the place that we would go to would be Dollywood.
Oh, that's right.
And Pigeon Forge.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow.
And I did actually recently go as an adult.
How's that?
It was fun. It was fun. But much as you've been with me to the theme parks, I get very tired and very overwhelmed by the crowd. But it was a nice time. I enjoyed it for the most part. I did do one of the really scary rides at the very front where you're hanging, your feet are dangling and you're...
Oh, yeah.
So do you remember how I screamed and squealed during our... Was it the Guardians of the Galaxy ride?
Oh, fondly. I fondly remember
it was
that
same level of screaming.
That kid in front of you was very concerned on the ride.
They kept looking back, thought I was crying. Yeah.
Well, and I love that that's the picture that we
really
got out of it was him turned around looking at you and you just screaming and me laughing because I'm a terrible friend.
You are a terrible friend. But it was quite hilarious. True story.
Yes. Yes, it was.
So are you a fan?
I don't have, I shudder to say, much familiarity with her music. I think I know the big hits. And I recently have become really fond of her just in kind of her style and her attitude and the causes she supports. And I love the drunk history about her. And we're talking about her today because she's in the news for donating some money to Moderna and helping fund that potential vaccine.
Yeah, she gave the seed money.
Yeah, and the clips I've seen of her, I love how she's so like, oh, I'm just happy to have been able to help. Because from what I understand, she was kind of surprised to hear that she was involved. She learned at the same time everyone else did. which was just really, really cute and sweet.
Well, she was also a producer for Buffy, the Vampire Slayer, the TV series.
I did not know that. Is that
did
true?
You not? Yes. So, yeah. So that people just recently learned that not too long ago, that she actually was an uncredited producer to
That's
Buffy the
amazing.
Vampire Slayer.
Oh, I love her even more.
Right?
That's so so great. Oh, wow. You've made my day, Samantha.
This is what I'm here for.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah. So in light of all of this,
yes.
we thought we would share a classic episode on Dolly Parton. So please enjoy.
Welcome to Stuff Mom Never Told You from HowStuffWorks.com.
Hello and welcome to the podcast. I'm Caroline.
And I'm Kristen.
And today's episode is dedicated to a very special woman. This is one big happy birthday card sealed with a kiss to Miss Dolly Parton.
That's right. Sealed with a kiss and lots of glitz and glamour for Dolly Parton. Her 68th birthday was on January 19th. And we figured we should do an entire episode on her. And even though we're devoting an entire podcast just to Dolly, it was hard to fit Dolly's life and accomplishments into only one recording, Caroline.
Yeah, we started going through this timeline of her life and all of her awards and her accomplishments and things. And I'm reading through it and I'm like, okay, so she did this and she won this and she wrote this and then she starred in this. And then I'm like, wait, no, I can't even keep track of all of this stuff because she has done so much in her 68 years.
And we figured that she definitely deserved her own podcast because, yeah, it's her birthday and she's Dolly, and Dolly really deserves the world, if you ask me. But she was an incredible, still is, an incredible businesswoman. She's a legendary performer, still performing, still touring, and she's often cited, too, as a feminist icon,
mm-hmm.
even though that's not necessarily a label that she puts on herself. And she's one of those unique people where no matter where on the political spectrum you are, everybody seems to love her.
Yeah, so much so that she is actually filling the Glastonbury Legends slot during this huge festival's Sunday night performance in 2014.
Yeah, I mean, because who wouldn't want to still see Dolly Parton?
She's fabulous. She can do anything. She can wear anything, she can say anything, she can go anywhere, and people love her.
Yeah, and she's incredibly talented, too. We can't even hit all of the high points of her career because there are simply too many to list, and that would become the most boring podcast in the world. But for instance, she's written over 3,000 songs.
And 25 of those songs have been certified gold, platinum, and multi-platinum.
And she has garnered 7 Grammy Awards, 10 Country Music Association Awards, 5 Academy of Country Music Awards, 3 American Music Awards, and is only one of 5 female artists to win the Country Music Association's Entertainer of the Year Award. And that's not even all.
That's not all, Kristen. She's the first artist to earn a number one record twice with I Will Always Love You.
Yeah, and just on a side note of what a persistent and diligent businesswoman she is in the songwriting field, the U.S. Copyright Office database shows 862 entries for Dolly Parton as either author or claimant. And that wouldn't even include all of her copyrighted songs because the database started collecting after she was writing songs.
Hmm.
So she's always been very much focused on her goal of being who she is today, of
right.
this incredibly famous, talented, successful performer,
mm-hmm.
and has always been really diligent as well in, on the business side of things, of making sure that Dolly Parton gets her due for all of the hard work that she has put into not just her hair and makeup and clothes.
Right. Well, so on the business side of things, you know, obviously she has her Dollywood amusement parks. She also has a production company called Sand Dollar, which, by the way, produced TV's Buffy the Vampire Slayer. She also has a record label, because why wouldn't she?
Yeah. Yeah, and it's called Dolly Records.
Sure.
Because, of course, it would be called Dolly Records. On top of that, she is an author. Her memoir is called My Life and Other Unfinished Business. And she's also written a children's book, The Coat of Many Colors.
Right, after her song of the same name, all about, you know, being a poor child growing up in Tennessee and her mother stitching together this coat out of rags and being made fun of at school.
But now who's laughing?
That's right, all the way to the bank in her sequined outfit.
God, she's amazing.
She's amazing. Well, so I have said this on the podcast before, but, you know, Dolly is an actress as well, and she is in one of my favorite movies of all time. She debuted in 1980's 9 to 5 with Jane Fonda and Lily Tomlin.
Yeah, it's hard to recommend 9 to 5 enough because it's hilarious, and it's not only Dolly Parton, but it's also Jane Fonda and Lily Tomlin, mm-hmm. and they are an incredible trio with a fabulous 80s wardrobe, and there's some bizarre plot points, but you've got to love it for what it is, which is this snapshot of when women are really trying to make their way into the workplace and have to deal with all these sexist male bosses, and they're not having any of it.
That's right. And there's a shotgun involved and some bondage. It's great. She also had roles in Steel Magnolias, Best Little Whorehouse in Texas, Rhinestone, and Straight Talk, in addition to TV shows, made-for-TV movies, HBO specials, the whole thing.
Yeah, I think one of her most recent guest-starring roles was on Hannah Montana, because come to find out, she's Miley Cyrus's godmother.
Yeah, she has stuck up for Miley through a lot of this rigmarole in the media.
Yeah, because, I mean, Dolly's had to deal with her own rigmarole as mm-hmm. well, but she's always handled it very gracefully, because when it comes to Dolly, she's just been so singularly focused on success and wanting to achieve her goals and accepting herself completely for mm-hmm. who she is. And it's kind of like, well, I'm Dolly. You can take me or leave me, but you're going to take me because I'm precious. But we've got to go through her musical timeline as well, because it's incredible how early her talent emerged, because in 1946, she was born in Locust Ridge, Tennessee, and she wrote her first song in 1951. She's 5 years old, and she wrote this song called Tiny Little Tassel Top, and it was about this homemade doll that was made out of corn husks, and it was her friend.
Yeah, to further flesh out this image, Dolly was the fourth of 12 children, several of whom would later go on to perform with her. And she was exposed to music thanks to her mother, who sang, and thanks to music in church. She sang a lot in church. And in 1953, so the timeline goes, she makes her first guitar out of an old mandolin and two bass guitar strings. But bio.com said that a relative gave her her first guitar, so I'm not really sure what the real story is on that.
I'm going to believe that she made her first guitar because she's Dolly. And side note, a lot of this timeline is coming from the Library of Congress because she is a living legend mm-hmm. from the in the Library of Congress. So she's actually a bona fide national icon. In 1956, by this point, she's become a regular singer on Knoxville's Cass Walker show. So she's 10 years old, and she's already having these public gigs.
Yeah, and in 1957, she makes her first recording, Puppy Love, on Gold Band Records. And in 1959, she gives her first performance at the Grand Ole Opry, no big deal. And further, no big deal, she's introduced by Johnny Cash and performs his song, You Gotta Be My Baby, earning 3 encores at her performance.
But she knows at this point that she has to make the move to Nashville. She's got to get out of Sevierville, where she's growing up, into the big city if she's actually going to make it. Because as she was telling Terry Gross in a Fresh Air interview in the early 2000s, she didn't want to have the life that her mom had. She, you know, she has, what, 7 younger siblings, 8 younger siblings, and she essentially is already mother to these kids growing up. And she was like, I was already, you know, I'd already been a mother. I really wanted to be a woman and a successful woman at that. So she moves to Nashville, and the first day that she's there, she goes to a laundromat called the Wishy Washy, and that's where she meets her soon-to-be husband, Carl Dean.
So after marrying dreamboat Carl Dean, who is very tall and handsome, she goes on to chart. She, on January 21st, 1967, she first appeared on the Billboard Country Charts with 2 singles recorded for Monument, Dumb Blonde at number 24 and Something Fishy at number 17. And you gotta love Dumb Blonde coming out of this, in this era, because it just really attacked stereotypes about women.
Yeah, one of the lines of lyrics goes, just because I'm blonde, don't think I'm dumb, because this dumb blonde ain't nobody's fool. And that's one of the reasons why Dolly is so well loved, whether you're a country fan or not, is because she has always been very pro-women and very much stands up for herself. But 1967, the year Dumb Blonde comes out, is huge for Dolly because she releases her first full-length album, Hello, I'm Dolly. And then on September 5th of that year, she first appears on the Porter Wagoner Show. And I have a feeling that a lot of people have probably, listening, have probably not heard of Porter Wagoner. But this was a huge break because the show at the time had 3.5 million viewers a week. And Porter Wagoner was this country star, this older kind of gentleman who would wear these razzle-dazzle rhinestone and tassel-y jackets and called Dolly his little lady. And he had this female sidekick for a while named Norma Jean. But then Norma Jean left and Dolly came on the show. And she was a huge hit.
Yeah, she initially told Porter Wagoner that she'd only stay 5 years because, you know, she was on a mission. This was a lady on a mission and she wanted to start her own solo career. But she ended up staying 2 years past that. And during this time, she managed to land a contract with RCA Records thanks to her partnership with Wagoner and scored her first number one country hit in 1971 with Joshua.
And from there, the years 1974 to 1978 are huge as her star really begins to rise with the help of being on the Porter Wagoner Show. But she really pretty quickly from that point starts to become a star in her own right, because in 1974, we have Jolene. Yes, Jolene. Oh, Caroline, since I started researching for this episode, Jolene has been in my head because it's such a catchy old tune, you know. But it reached number one on the country charts and number 60 on the pop charts, which the fact that she's already crossing over onto the pop charts is pretty huge. And from there, her next four singles also reach number one on the country charts, which include I Will Always Love You, which she wrote for Porter Wagoner as her song to say, listen, dude, I said I was going to stay for this long, 5 years. I've already stayed 2 more years. I'll always love you. I got to go. Things are going to be better for us in the end. It's actually not really a love song as you might think it would be if you've heard the Whitney Houston version from The Bodyguard, but it was really Dolly Parton kind of saying, you know, you got to go. Come on. I got to go. You got to go.
So it's not about Kevin Costner?
It's not about Kevin Costner. Well, but you know what? It can be about Kevin Costner if you want it to be.
I want every song to be about Kevin Costner. And so within this very short time, I mean, 74 to 78, that's not actually that long, but she won the CMA Female Vocalist of the Year Award. She gets her own syndicated TV show. She ends her long professional association with Porter Wagoner. She releases New Harvest First Gathering, her first self-produced album. And the single from that album, Here You Come Again, hit number 3 on the pop charts.
Yeah, and that album ended up going platinum, making Dolly Parton the first female artist to have an album sell 1 million copies. And Here You Come Again earned Parton her very first Grammy for Best Country Vocal Performance by a female.
And the accolades don't stop there. 1980 hits, 9 to 5 is released. Dolly earns a Golden Globe nomination for Best Supporting Actress, Best New Film Star, and Best Original Song, as well as the People's Choice Award for Favorite Movie Song and an Oscar nomination for the title song. It is that catchy, people.
It is so catchy. And from there, she stars in 1982's Best Little Whorehouse in Texas. And her remake of I Will Always Love You for the soundtrack earns a Grammy nomination. 1986, she's inducted into the Nashville Songwriters Hall of Fame. 1986, Dollywood opens. And in more recent years, because of all of these accolades that we have been blowing through, and we haven't even told you every single one of them, she is essentially now just starting to earn the Lifetime Awards.
Right. Like, yeah, we just think you're awesome, Dolly. And so in 2004, that's when she received the Living Legend Medal from the Library of Congress. And in 2006, she was one of the celebrities recognized at the Kennedy Center Honors.
And I like how recently she received a Lifetime Achievement Award from the Grammy Awards, because I think, what, she already gotten like 7 of them. And it seemed like Grammys were like, listen, Dolly, just here's an award. Just can you stop being so awesome? Other people have to get awards. But she's not only popular, though, in the United States. I'm sure we have some international listeners who are well aware of Dolly Parton. But academically, the one study, I was surprised, the one study that we could find on Dolly Parton was about how popular she is in Zimbabwe.
Yeah, this was surprising to me, but Jonathan Zilberg basically did like this anthropological look at the popularity that not only Dolly has, but country music has in Zimbabwe. And a lot of it just has to do with, you know, the entertainment that's piped through the TV and the radio and the fact that people identify with it. But, you know, he looked at, okay, well, why? Why Dolly? Why this like blonde, you know, big boobed white American woman? Like, what is it about her? And he cites, you know, a lot of her lyrics and her story itself, her rags to riches story, the fact that she did come from 12 children in the hills of Appalachia. You know, they didn't have much. And now she's this famous singer who sings about everyday experiences. She also incorporates uplifting Christian themes and sings those very easy to identify with tragic love songs.
Yeah, he said that even Zimbabweans identify with the healing function, as he calls it, of Dolly Parton's music. So now that we have clearly established that Dolly Parton is an incredible, accomplished woman who is genuinely loved around the world, we're going to take a quick break and then talk about how she has parlayed her fame and wealth to help other people as well.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snag a Job is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position: warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snag a Job's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly, with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text SNAG to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
Hey, it's Andy, Mike, and Jason of the Fantasy Footballers Podcast here, and we're inviting you to join us live on NFL Plus following the first round of the NFL Draft. Look, fantasy football, let's be honest, gentlemen, it kind of rules the world.
That's right, and we will be live with in-the-moment fantasy football reactions to all the first-round selections and all the crazy surprises. We never can predict what's going to happen on that first day of the NFL Draft.
Lots of elite talent at the skill positions that will have a big impact on fantasy football this year. Are we going to get three wide receivers in the top 10? Are we going to break the record for the most wide receivers in the first round? Is there going to be a running back? I don't know.
And there's a lot of teams like the Chiefs, the Bills. We're really excited about their quarterback. Do they add a wide receiver? What are some of those best landing spots?
The Fantasy Footballers Draft Special will air exclusively on NFL Plus on Thursday, April 25th, following the conclusion of the first round of the draft. Go to plus.nfl.com to sign up today. Terms and conditions apply.
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV True Crime Podcast, To Live and Die in L.A. I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last year and a half. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
All these girls were sent out into the world, and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
The war in Ukraine is also being fought by all these girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy reveals how the Russian government turns sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, it's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, start having sex, and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And now back to the podcast.
Honestly, I like growing up, Dolly Parton was not played in my household. Mm-mm. You know, it's not, I wasn't like a hardcore Dolly fan or anything. It's only been in my adulthood that I've really discovered her And while I don't really listen to her albums on repeat or anything like that, I love her hits. And I just, I don't know, I appreciate her place in music history and in pop culture in general.
Because
she's just been so honest and honestly unapologetic about who she is and what she's done with her notoriety and all of the money that she's earned, such as giving back as the book lady.
Yeah, back in 1988, she started the Dollywood Foundation to inspire children in her home community of Sevierville, Tennessee. And it funds the Dolly Parton Imagination Library across America and now in Canada and the UK by giving every preschool child a book each month from the time he or she is born until the child reaches kindergarten. And as of August 2013, the program had spread to 1,400 communities across the U.S., England, and Canada and given away almost 50 million free books. And Dolly holds this so close to her heart. She said that this was the thing that her father was most proud of her for, not her singing career, not all of her country music awards, but the fact that she was helping children to read. Because she said, you know, if you, as a child, particularly like a poor child, you know, you don't have anything to call your own. But if you get this book in the mail and it has your name on it and you learn to read it and you pore over it every month and then you get a new one, there's a sense of ownership and pride in the act of learning to read. You're going to tell your mama or your daddy to teach you how to read. And so that's something that she's very proud of.
Well, and what more empowering tool can you give a child than the ability to read?
Absolutely.
You know, but let's talk for a minute about her personal life, because I mean, her professional life is so huge. And at least from what I've known of Dolly before looking into her life for the podcast, I wasn't very aware of her personal life, because I feel like she's always been pretty good at keeping the professional life at the forefront. Mm-hmm. But certainly her longtime marriage to Carl Dean, they've been married for nearly 50 years. I think they're actually about to renew their vows. But it certainly has attracted gossip and rumors as well, because she's worked so closely with prominent men, whether they're musicians or actors like Burt Reynolds. Mm-hmm. And people always assume, well, Dolly must be flirting with these men. She must be having affairs. They must have an open marriage.
Yeah, there's a lot of speculation people are dying to know. And her quote is this, which is great. She says, "I love to flirt and I've never met a man I didn't like. Men are my weakness. Short, fat, bald, or skinny. I've had crushes on some very unusual men, but Carl knows I'll always come home and I'm not having sex with these people. I'm just flirting and having fun."
I love that, that she says she's had crushes on unusual men. That's so perfect. Well, yeah, because there was even a rumor swirling that they were in an open marriage, because I think she's made comments about, like, poking fun at long-term monogamy, because, mm-hmm. I mean, come on, they've been married for like 50 years, mm-hmm. And people were scandalized by that. But she always seems so unfazed by whatever kind of gossip people want to spread. But one thing, too, she's talked about publicly is the fact that she and Carl don't have any kids. And she actually went through a tough time about that. She told The Globe at one point that she, in the 1980s, went through a bout of depression from not having kids. She said, "I went through a dark time. It lasted several months because I think I would have made a nice mama."
Yeah. And so, you know, she had thought she might have kids, but her, you know, it was on hold because of her career and all of that stuff. And so then she says, and I want you to, like, I can't do a Dolly voice, but I want you to imagine this in Dolly's voice. She says, "Then one day I just said to myself, right, get off your fat butt. Or if you really are suicidal, then go and shoot your brains out. I thought, you know, maybe God didn't want me to have kids so that everybody else's kids could be mine."
Well, that's the thing, too. She talks about how she has so many nieces and nephews because she has 11 siblings. So there are, she, I think they call her, what do they call her? Great Aunt Granny is her name. They just call me Great Aunt Granny. I can't do a Dolly Parton either, clearly. But one of the most fascinating things to me about Dolly Parton today, and with her relationship to women our age, especially Caroline, is how many times I've seen her being cited as this feminist icon, even though she's never out and out said, "I'm a feminist." She's very much loud and proud about her Christianity and her kind of traditional family values. But at the same time, she very much supports gay rights and gay marriage, and she's been on the record about that. But in terms of feminism, she pokes fun, but she's never said, well, I'm a feminist.
Yeah. But I think her life is such an excellent example all in and of itself. I mean, the way that she has forged ahead with a smile on her face the whole time. You know, I mean, she has kind of laughed off all of this stuff as she has pushed through the big machine to become as successful as she is.
Yeah. And one quote she did give in response to her thoughts on feminism was, she said, I was the first woman to burn my bra. It took the fire department 4 days to put it out. Womp womp.
And one thing that people really like about her is just her very non-judgmental attitude. I mean, you look at the hair, you look at the boobs, and you might start to assume things like maybe she's not that smart. She couldn't possibly be a feminist. But what she's doing is basically championing your right to look any way you want. And I mean, she's definitely not shy about talking about her appearance, the wigs, the boobs, all that stuff. In fact, she says things like, it takes a lot of money to look that cheap. But she just uses the self-deprecation and humor and doesn't let it bother her. You know, she kind of took back the female form, you could say.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the fact that she is so big, whether we're talking about her hair or her breasts or just how loud her wardrobe tends to be. And it's intentional on her part. I mean, she's even talked about how her look today was inspired when she was a little girl by a prostitute in her town who she saw, and she talked about how she saw this woman walking down the road and she was so glamorous because she had big hair and red nails and she wanted to look exactly like her. And her mother noticed Dolly paying attention to this prostitute and was just scandalized and said, Dolly, don't look at that woman. No. And here, you know, now she's like, well, sorry, Mom, not sorry.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snag a Job is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position: warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snag a Job's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly, with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text SNAG to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
Hey, it's Andy, Mike, and Jason of the Fantasy Footballers Podcast here, and we're inviting you to join us live on NFL Plus following the first round of the NFL Draft. Look, fantasy football, let's be honest, gentlemen, it kind of rules the world.
That's right, and we will be live with in-the-moment fantasy football reactions to all the first-round selections and all the crazy surprises. We never can predict what's going to happen on that first day of the NFL Draft.
Lots of elite talent at the skill positions that will have a big impact on fantasy football this year. Are we going to get three wide receivers in the top 10? Are we going to break the record for the most wide receivers in the first round? Is there going to be a running back? I don't know.
And there's a lot of teams like the Chiefs, the Bills. We're really excited about their quarterback. Do they add a wide receiver? What are some of those best landing spots?
The Fantasy Footballers Draft Special will air exclusively on NFL Plus on Thursday, April 25th, following the conclusion of the first round of the draft. Go to plus.nfl.com to sign up today. Terms and conditions apply.
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV true crime podcast, To Live and Die in LA. I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last year and a half. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
All these girls were sent out into the world and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
The war in Ukraine is also being fought by all these girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy reveals how the Russian government turns sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, it's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, start having sex, and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
to Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, and I mean, if you look at the song she's written, like Dumb Blonde, which we cited earlier, you know, don't think I'm dumb because this dumb blonde ain't nobody's fool. Just because I'm a woman and 9 to 5, you know, just because I'm a woman, she says, my mistakes are no worse than yours. Just because I'm a woman, 9 to 5, talking about you would think I would deserve a fat promotion, all this stuff. And even with Jolene, you know, where in the story, this woman is trying to steal Dolly's man. Dolly's not calling her bad names. There's no hint of slut shaming in this song whatsoever. She is simply saying, like, look, I know you're awesome. I know you're gorgeous, but please, I love him. Don't take him away.
Yeah. I mean, she's just earnestly saying, I can't compete with you, Jolene. So if you could just kind of disappear, that would be nice. And Dr. Amy Pelliff, who's the assistant director of the Comparative History of Ideas program and the affiliate assistant director of Gender, Women, and Sexuality Studies at the University of Washington. Wow, that's quite a title. Has also looked into this intersection of feminism and Dolly Parton from a performative standpoint. And she calls it folk feminism, what she sees in Dolly Parton. For instance, she quotes Dolly Parton saying, I soon realized that I had to play by men's rules to win. My way of fighting back was to wear frilly clothes and to put on the big blonde wigs. And Pelliff is really fascinated at how, I mean, when we talk about gender, we often talk about how gender is a performance. It's the things that you mm-hmm. put on. It's the feminine versus the masculine really boils down to how you are acting and, you know, what you are wearing, these kinds of performance aspects. And when it comes to femininity, Dolly is like the highest, most heightened version of gender performance that you could really imagine.
Right. Well, I mean, she does say, I've always said that if I hadn't been a woman, I would have been a drag queen.
Exactly.
And I mean, that goes, I mean, she basically is like that whole performance art, the big wigs, all the makeup, the hair, everything. I mean, she basically is a drag queen. And Amy Pelliff also points out her contradictory identities. And I think that's interesting. And I wonder if this is part of why everybody loves Dolly is because, you know, that extreme femininity, there's the male fantasy part compared with the gay icon aspect of her performance. The simple country girl versus the jet setting celebrity, the faithfully married woman versus the femme fatale, and then the straight woman versus lesbian. A lot of people have said, oh, well, Dolly must be a lesbian because, you know, she's not out with her husband all the time. When in fact, she's like, dude, she's my best friend. Calm down. And then that whole dichotomy between the artificial and the authentic that almost everything about her, when you look at her, is probably fake, but she herself is so genuine.
Well, and she's so genuine about the fakeness.
Right.
You know, and it was one quote about the sexuality aspect or the sexualization of her body. She said, there's nothing sexy about my look. Men are not usually turned on by artificial looks, and I've always been like that. Like, she thinks it's kind of laughable to even consider herself a sex icon just because she has large breasts.
Yeah. And I mean, she's been able to accomplish, I mean, just, you know, we blew through that timeline of her life, but, you know, this woman has accomplished so much and been awarded with so much, and she's done it on her own terms completely. She has been able to do everything with a smile, looking exactly the way she wants to look, doing what she wants to do, and still gathering all of this, all of these accolades, all of this notoriety.
Yeah. And I mean, I think a lot of it goes back to her being a child in tiny town Appalachia and having this one dream and having some incredible work ethic. She's, mm-hmm. she's even said that, you know, she has a lot of talented relatives. She's like, but I don't think that any of them are as successful as I am because I don't know of anyone who really wants to work as hard as I do because I'm sure was nonstop yeah. to write over 3,000 songs mm-hmm. and do everything else that she's been doing. And I don't know. It's interesting to just think about someone who today, when I feel like in our social landscape, everything is so polarized. Everything is you either hate it or you love it. And it's rare to find a person who doesn't attract as much criticism as they do praise.
Mm-hmm.
And it's hard to find someone who can legitimately talk smack about Dolly Parton. Yeah. Even if you don't like her music, even if you're not a country fan, there's something to like about her.
Yeah.
And I think it's because of those kind of lines that she's able to skirt that you just mentioned, of just like kind of somehow being everything all at once,
mm-hmm.
and being totally humble and also self-deprecating about it, which I think the self-deprecation helps.
Yeah.
You know? So happy birthday, Dolly.
Happy birthday. And call us anytime.
Yeah. You can hang out if you ever want to pop over to Atlanta, Dolly. Now that we're directly addressing you as though you're listening to this episode. But I want to know, though, if other people listening consider her a feminist icon. Are you a fan? Is there anyone out there who has a legit reason to not like Dolly? Let us know. Let's talk about Dolly. And thanks everybody who's written into us. MomStuff@discovery.com is where you can send your letters. But you can also get in touch with us on Facebook or tweet us at MomStuffPodcast. And to find all things Stuff Mom Never Told You, including every single podcast we have ever published, every single blog, every single video, every single social media outlet we are on, which is a lot. There's only one place to go on the internet now, and it's www.StuffMomNeverToldYou.com.
For more on this and thousands of other topics, visit HowStuffWorks.com.
Hey, it's Andy, Mike, and Jason of the Fantasy Footballers Podcast here, and we're inviting you to join us live on NFL Plus following the first round of the NFL Draft. Look, fantasy football, let's be honest, gentlemen, it kind of rules the world.
That's right, and we will be live with in-the-moment fantasy football reactions to all the first-round selections and all the crazy surprises. We never can predict what's going to happen on that first day of the NFL Draft.
Lots of elite talent at the skill positions that will have a big impact on fantasy football this year. Are we going to get three wide receivers in the top 10? Are we going to break the record for the most wide receivers in the first round? Is there going to be a running back? I don't know.
And there's a lot of teams like the Chiefs, the Bills. We're really excited about their quarterback. Do they add a wide receiver? What are some of those best landing spots?
The Fantasy Footballers Draft Special will air exclusively on NFL Plus on Thursday, April 25th, following the conclusion of the first round of the draft. Go to plus.nfl.com to sign up today. Terms and conditions apply.
This episode is brought to you by PNC Bank, who believes some things in life should be boring, like banking.
Because boring is safe and responsible, level-headed and wise. All things you want your bank to be.
You don't want your bank to be cool or sexy. Sexy is for 80s hair bands, not banks. That's why PNC Bank strives to be boring with your money so you can be happily fulfilled with your life.
PNC Bank, brilliantly boring since 1865.
Brilliantly Boring Since 1865 is a service mark of the PNC Financial Services Group, Incorporated. PNC Bank, a National Association, member FDIC.
Diamonds Direct Spring Sale starts this weekend. Get 20% off rings, earrings, pendants, bracelets, and more. It's the best store-wide sale of the season. Plus, book an appointment and get an additional $100 off. That's 20% off plus $100 off store-wide. And enjoy an expanded selection of the latest styles with designer appearances each weekend. Tons of engagement rings on sale, too. 20% off. Starts Friday and opens Sundays. Details at DiamondsDirect.com.